Welcome to the Pretty Standard with your hosts, Caitlin Cutt, Gary Martin, and Adam Todd Brown.
Hey everyone. Welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Boo.
Boo. But yay.
Yay. I'm Adam Todd Brown.
I'm Caitlin Cutt.
We're your hosts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We are continuing our ghost adventure.
It is. It felt like an adventure. It felt like a nice vacation.
It is.
And I haven't left my house in a year, so it was kind of nice to see to be in Vegas for a bit, even if it was remotely.
Yeah. There was that point where there were hotels in Vegas that were like, come work from home in a Vegas hotel for 2 weeks if you want. And I was, I don't know. There were times where I was like, yeah, maybe I'll go sit in a fucking hotel room instead of my apartment for 2 weeks. That's fine. But I never did it.
I couldn't. I have a 48-hour enjoyment threshold and 72-hour survivability threshold in Vegas. After 3 days, I'm...
Oh, yeah, no. But I mean, just sitting in a hotel room, I can do that anywhere.
That's true. Yeah, no. I mean, you're not wrong about that. It's just, I think the things that appeal to me about being in a hotel would all pretty much have been ruined by COVID. Like, yeah. I would have liked to have gone and gotten a massage and my hair done and...
Oh, yeah. I don't do none of that. Sit in my room and watch TV.
No, when I vacation, I vacation hard. I don't do anything for myself.
So this, we're just to remind everyone, we're covering Ghost Adventures Quarantine, which is a little side quest for the Ghost Adventures crew where they quarantined in the Haunted Mansion in Las Vegas, which is a building owned by Zach Bagans, which there were parts where I was like, ooh, scary. You're at work. You work here.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of funny to think about it, like that even Zach Bagans had to work from home.
Yeah. Wait, I don't actually live here. You do now. Get in there.
It's your house. You're in a home and you're working. You are working from home.
What if this is just a ghost plan? What if they put it in his head? Get it. You should go in the Haunted Mansion. We'll give your sight back.
Man.
They didn't, though.
We've talked about Grave Encounters, right? It's like my favorite stupid found footage ghost hunting movie.
It's one of those movies where you have to give it credit for being one of the first, but it's also incredibly stupid.
It's so stupid, but it's so also making fun of this show specifically. I mean, it's biting off of Zach Bagans majorly. And that part makes me happy. I do talk about that movie a lot now that I realize. I'm sorry.
It's
I just really like
fucking
it.
Fucking bonkers. So episode 3 is called Experiments of Summoning. I don't even remember what episode 2 was called. Episode 1 is Perimeter of Fear.
Episode 2 was a pretty big yada yada.
Yeah. And then episode 4 is called Opening the Box.
Which?
It is the absolute most. Here's what it's historic visual evidence of, Caitlin. Everyone fucking hates Billy.
I know.
Billy really gets it. Zach. Spoiler, Zach points the fucking Dybbuk box at Billy and just sets it in the entryway to the room Billy's in and goes, you're trapped in there now. We're going to talk about that again when we get to it in the notes. I loved it so much.
So good. But the first half of this episode highlights a very weird verbal tic of Zach Bagans that it's nails on a chalkboard. I'm sorry. It's bad.
He picks up a Ouija board and he pronounces that word O-U-E-J-A, basically. Like
Ouija.
He sounds out every letter and it's very strange.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't put a little Latin flair on it like he likes to do sometimes.
He is the Eliza Doolittle of the paranormal world.
Yeah.
He just can't get it. That blew my mind. Ouija board. Like a Ouija board.
Ouija.
Ouija. Like
this is like, the part like, where they cover the weirdest story in this. And
I could not follow the thread of this story bit.
The problem is I still can't find her name, but the woman they're talking about in this episode, her family wanted nothing to do with this episode, or probably with Zach Bagans buying her weird time machine she built in her living room. But so they just call her the woman. And I've seen this story somewhere. And what happened is this woman just basically starved herself to death. And she wrote all of these weird, like, space travel notes. And she constructed this series of machines that she called input wells. And she died surrounded by these things. And she documented all of it. And it starts out, she just looks like a normal, healthy person. And by the end, she looks like a fucking ghost. And one of the pictures she takes is right before she dies. And it's a very weird story. She had all these machines surrounding her when she died that she built herself. And Zach Bagans bought them. And not only that, someone figured out how to get them operating again from reading her weird cards that she wrote about it. And now they're going to make Billy sit in front of that shit and see if he wastes away in the span of two more episodes.
They just plant him in front of all of this stuff. And I can't imagine doing that to someone I like.
Yeah. Billy really gets it in these last two episodes. And I like that.
Well, I'm fine with it, obviously. Yeah. But I just going to reiterate that Billy has aged 50 years, it feels like, in the course of filming this show. And to your point, this is why. Because I think they put him in these, like, incredibly stressful, paranormally hazardous places.
I wonder if it's just because he's the newest member. Like when Metallica would just abuse the shit out of Jason Newsted when he joined the band.
He's been there for a decade now. There is no new member. It's like,
he's still getting hazed.
Yeah, he is. He really shit on him.
Oh, man. So Zach, he wants to investigate this thing called the Devil's Chair, which is...
Who wouldn't?
A relic from Ed and Lorraine Warren's investigations, which they're a whole other thing to talk about. He gets on Skype with a priest who, for some reason, is wearing a mask indoors on Skype, which...
Early pandemic. We don't know.
Pump the brakes, Father.
We didn't know what we were doing.
And Zach,
I was bleaching my mail at this point still. So I remember those early days. It was different then.
Very different. Zach tells this priest that he has a notarized warning about how anyone who sits in this devil's chair immediately suffers back pain.
Have you ever met a notary?
Only online.
Okay. These are just people. Notaries are not ordained. They're just people that go to a Saturday class. They take an oath not to fuck up people's lives. And they show up and they sit there while two other people or one other person signs a document. So the fact that it's notarized doesn't mean anything. But who was signing and officiating this document?
Yeah. Was it a ghost?
I mean, I could get a notary to show up and like officiate me signing anything.
Yeah.
As long as you pay them.
Get it ghosterized if you want to impress me.
Oh, man, that would be rad.
Go to a ghostery.
Adam.
Caitlin.
Here's what I did.
I took the word ghost.
Got it.
And the word notary.
Wait.
Smashed them together into one word. It's what we call a portmanteau. Oh, right?
Woo-wee.
Oof. You are getting the good stuff this week, people.
You're welcome. We're just giving it away.
You are very welcome. So sure enough, a guy who interviewed Zach for Entertainment Tonight hurts his fucking back while they're playing around with his chair.
Okay, his story's bizarre because he stands close to the chair and his back starts to spasm, which is interesting because this man has the whitest teeth I've ever seen in my entire life.
He takes care of those teeth. Zach should get them when that guy dies. Yes, put them in that museum next to the Swayze.
Right next to the Swayze chompers.
Yep.
I was mesmerized by this guy's teeth.
Yeah. And he seemed pretty genuine.
He did. He seemed terrified. He's a human being who works for Entertainment Tonight. So I don't know. Those are like Ziploc people. They're like, I don't even know how they live or if they drink alcohol or I don't know.
Here's why Zach never gets attacked by a ghost. Okay. Because he respects ghosts. Even though he comes in screaming, the ghosts know that he knows they're real. But this guy, what he did during this interview was he did a little jokey joke thing, like he was just going to go sit in the chair.
Nope.
And that ghost was like, here's what's going to happen, bub. You think this is a game? You think this is a fucking game?
It's not.
Here's your back pain. Who's joking now? Same thing with the girl who's like, huh, good on you. All right, let's see.
Yeah, let's see. I don't, maybe that's all ghosts. Maybe ghosts are just basically, they're all mobsters. They just want respect.
I've heard one of the things you have to do is say goodbye when there's a ghost in the room and you leave. I did that when with Peggy the doll. When we all got in that room, I was like, bye, Peggy, just so she knew to fucking stay there.
Cost you nothing, as you always say.
It's free. It's free. those dice cost nothing to roll.
None. It's the freest gamble you don't have to take in Vegas.
I did finally figure out why the priest had his mask on Skype, because his goatee looked ridiculous.
We did see the goatee and it looked satanic, frankly.
He clearly was having that done by a professional before things broke out.
I don't even and it understand.
Was it was not
like
well manicured.
Goatee.
Yeah, he looked like evil. A horror movie priest.
Yeah.
So Zach, one of my favorite parts, he takes the EMF reader down to this devil's chair and it's just going nuts. And he starts doing that thing where like you're reading an article on the internet and it's very funny and entertaining, but the person in the room with you is doing some shit and you know they don't really want to be bothered.
Yep.
So you start reading the article and you're like, oh man, oh, this is crazy. Just hoping that they're going to go, all right, what is it?
Yeah.
That's what Zach is doing in this moment.
Yes.
He is so desperately trying to get people to run into the room and it's just not working. Everyone's just like, what, dude? What do you want?
He really needs attention.
Of all places to need attention.
See, this is the thing. It's counterintuitive if you think about it for a little bit, but then if you think about it for a little bit more, it makes a lot of sense. Like he's got a lot of, it's like a wedding. It's like a woman planning her wedding. You know, it's like, you're going to be the center of attention no matter what you do on this day, but people double down and they make things difficult because they're afraid they're not going to get the attention that they thought they were going to get. And that's what this is. He's a ghostzilla, a hunterzilla, it is what it is.
There is more historic visual evidence that everyone hates Billy, including ghosts, that happened shortly after this. We've already talked about this moment even before we started recording. Billy, I don't even remember where he is at this point, but he whips out the Ovilus. And as soon as he says hello, the machine goes, malevolent. Fuck you, Billy. Get out of the room. You are toxic. It's great.
It's all Billy's fault.
And it also says object and threat. Actually, I think it probably said object.
I object to you being here.
Yes. And you are a threat.
Yeah.
Beat it.
Billy is like Jerry on Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Everybody just beats on him no matter what. And Billy just is unfazed. He doesn't pick up on it at all.
There's a moment I forgot to mention from the end of episode 2 that comes back up at this point, which is the shadow detectors. They keep setting up these shadow detectors. And the first time they set one up, Billy's explanation just is so in depth. And he's like, the light shines this way. And then if something comes in between it, this will detect that shadow. And then he looks at the camera and goes, it's a shadow detector. Like, I get how shadows work.
If you put the word shadow and the other word detector next to each other, I'm going to understand what that machine does.
Yeah.
Now, if you told me that this machine called a shadow detector makes pizza, I'd be surprised.
I'd be very weirded out.
That would be weird. I wouldn't really expect that. But if you're just telling me that it's kind of an onomatopoeia of a word for what the machine does, then we're good.
It's a shadow detector. Thanks, waka, Billy. Waka, waka. And then he dances off screen with a cane. So Zach sets up another shadow detector. It's a shadow detector.
Got it.
And he starts, does he think Ed and Lorraine Warren are haunting the mansion? Because he starts calling to them like their ghosts are going to show up and they have to be incredibly busy as ghosts.
Well, that would definitely be like being in a prison filled with prisoners you put there. So yeah, I mean, imagine the afterlife is going to be tough on Ed and Lorraine regardless.
They're almost certainly in hell. Like just if nothing else, all the things they encountered and attracted to them, they're in a bad place right now.
It's complicated for them in the afterlife. That we know.
Yeah.
he does start trying to talk to Ed and Lorraine Warren, which is weird because it's like, is the plan to get them to help him harness more ghosts or something? Do you know what, like, what's the point in calling to them?
I think it might have been to plug The Conjuring 3, which...
Because he says the name of that movie 25 times.
One of the most shocking revelations of this whole series. I was like, holy shit, there's a Conjuring 3? And no, it got pushed back because of COVID. Hasn't come out yet. Comes out this year.
So it was... Oh, that's so funny. You know, that the whole time he was saying that, I was thinking of Insidious 3. That whole time he was saying, so there you go. I don't know.
Apparently the Warrens were as surprised as I was, because as soon as he mentions that, all his equipment starts going fucking crazy.
Yeah, they're not happy about this franchise move.
They want their ghost money.
They do want their ghost money.
They're like Suge Knight finding out that there was an NWA movie happening. My husband, who's playing me and how much am I getting paid?
My husband and I have this really long-standing bizarre inside joke that it's a decade old at this point, where we just talk about how ghost currency is ectoplasm.
Oh yeah.
And so like you pay by the bucket to get stuff.
What if it's Hi-C Ecto Cooler?
Man, that'd be great. Or Baja Blast.
I got throw up drunk drinking Hi-C Ecto Cooler.
Throw up drunk is so funny.
Tanqueray gin, because I really wanted to drink. I had no money. But I somehow had a full bottle of Tanqueray gin and a full thing of Hi-C Ecto Cooler. And I was like, I'm sure those will mix fine. Whew, no. It looked like Ghostbusters by the end of the night.
I like gin.
I hate it. I hate it because of that.
Oh, yeah. That's how I feel about the Irish Car Bomb cocktail situation.
Mm.
I had a bad night of Irish Car Bombs and I can't smell them now.
Yeah. So...
Cool story, Caitlin.
There is a part where the stick figure, Zach breaks out the stick figure machine.
Man, I really wish he hadn't. They look like puppets. It looks like a marionette routine.
And it starts dancing around the devil's chair and then hops in the chair and puts its elbow up. And all this time, I'm like, that is so cute. It's so cute.
They always dance.
They do. They just come dancing into the room like Morris Day in the Time.
They need to figure out some kind of technology that just kind of rounds up a little bit more towards what they think these things are doing. Because I don't think it makes sense that a ghost is dancing in front of me like that. Like it has to go pee. That's the kind of dance it's doing.
Yeah.
It's like doing the I gotta pee dance and it's a ghost. So I know it doesn't have to pee. And then it disappears and Zach's like, it's gone inside the object. It's like, how do you know that?
Maybe it just left.
Maybe it just disappeared.
And here's the thing. Have the makers of this camera never heard of a fucking filter? Like put a ghost filter over these dancing things. Make it look scary.
If Instagram has figured it out, why can't you?
Yeah, this seems like far more advanced technology.
Not scary at all.
No. But then Zach, for some reason, gets all FOMO over the Entertainment Tonight guy getting back spasms and not him.
I think he's jealous. I swear.
Oh, yeah.
It's very weird.
So he decides to sit in the chair and he immediately gets short of breath, but he assures us this is not psychosomatic. So don't even ask doctors. Zach knows. And I'm like, I think it might be psychosomatic.
Zach knows where your head's going with this, but you're wrong.
Don't even ask.
He's very defensive about this point, which makes me suspicious.
So Aaron and Jay, they're back in the room with the crazy lady and all her equipment. And they're using a Ouija board to talk to this woman. And Billy tries to kill them by adding their names to the input wells of this machine.
To the input wells.
Yeah. He writes their name on a piece of paper. First, he does Aaron's name. And then when things start getting weird in the room, he's like, oh, all right, I'm going to add Jay's name too. And yeah, it's like, this is why they hate you.
He does another thing that explains why everybody hates him later, by the way.
So they start hearing a loud banging noise. The Ouija board spells Jay's name, and then it electrocutes Aaron or some shit. So then Billy starts pretending his back hurts too, because he's not going to be left out of all this.
More FOMO. More bro FOMO.
And this board just keeps telling Aaron and Jay that they're going to die. At which point, a clown doll in another room just turns on by itself.
Which is not okay.
No, that was very creepy.
That part I don't like.
And that was fittingly the end of episode 3.
Abrupt ending, once again.
Hey, you want to be like me? Make podcasts that everyone loves? Yeah, you do. But chances are, you don't want to spend a bunch of money doing it. No worries. A solution exists. Spotify's got a platform that lets you make podcasts super easy, then distribute those podcasts everywhere, and you can even earn money doing it. All in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Also, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. I'm speaking from experience when I say that all those additional features like video podcasts, Q&As, polls, those are things you won't find for cheap elsewhere. But with Spotify for Podcasters, it's all totally free, no catch. I highly recommend you give it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. Thanks. We love you.
At the beginning of the final episode, Zach kicks things off by saying he had to take the previous day off because he didn't feel good. And he says it was scary, and I can't tell if he means because of ghosts or because of coronavirus or because of both.
Does he even know?
I don't think so.
I don't think you need to ask this because he hasn't answered it for himself.
Here's the thing. Sure. We're, in the big scheme of things, we're still very early into coronavirus. So do we even know it's not ghosts?
Can't prove that.
Can't prove it's not.
Can't prove it's not.
Mm.
They'll never prove that it's not.
They never will.
How about that?
If they do, the government will suppress it because there's no money in proving that it's ghosts.
No. Who qui bono, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, but we have to soldier on and try to live our lives as best and as happy as we can, because if we just try to depend on Big Brother or them to fill us in on everything, Adam, they're not gonna.
They're not.
And we're never gonna find joy.
The truth is out there, sheeple. Do your research.
We have to live, we have to love, and we have to laugh.
We have to. No cussing, no fussing, no back talking.
But yeah, I think he did think for a hot minute that he had COVID.
Yeah.
Which I think.
That have been a twist?
Whew. It would have been awesome.
It would have been very interesting, yeah.
I don't want anybody to get COVID, but it would have been really funny in a way.
So
if he had, I'll say that.
Zach has decided that with all the negative energy in the air around the world because of what we're all living through.
He is literally trying to connect the fear of the world to the activity in his mansion, by the way.
Yeah. So he decides perfect time to open the Dybbuk box.
Which is such a dick move.
It really is.
Like, if you think about, okay, for everybody listening who doesn't understand what this Dybbuk box is, Adam, can you give people an overview?
It is a haunted box. I mean, that's the easiest way to say it. It is.
It's also cursed.
It's a cursed box. Everyone who's owned it has had weird deaths and illnesses and just tragedies in their lives. The original owner buried it in his yard. Or no, someone bought it from the original owner and then buried it in their yard. And then apparently for some reason dug it up. And now Zach Bagans has it.
But also I found out in this episode that there are 10.
There's 10. And they, I shit you not, talk about how concerned they are that someday someone will acquire all 10 and open them at once.
Like
and
Thanos.
Caitlin, I think we know who that someone will be.
Yeah, I do too. We're going to see it live on Discovery Plus.
It will be on the Travel Channel in 2026 when Zach tracks down all 10 of these because he's already got two. He's got two already.
What if Zach is Thanos?
He could just be accidental Thanos. open the wrong fucking thing, like 10 Dybbuk boxes at once. I mean, he'll make Billy open them. That's for sure.
I was going to say Billy's the one that's going to turn. It's going to be like Raiders of the Lost Ark where he's just going to melt away.
Yeah. They'll all be in the command center. Like, holy shit, he's going to do it.
The nerve center.
Oh yeah. The nerve center,
which is basically Video Village for any production company. That's what they normally call it, but he calls it the nerve center.
And so they start getting into all this jazz about the Dybbuk box. The original owner, a guy named Kevin Manis, we talked about him on a bonus episode where we covered, Zach did a series about making this mansion and
yes,
all the things, like it was like Haunted Antiques Roadshow kind of.
Yeah, it was called Ghost Adventures Artifacts.
Yeah, and Zach was just sitting in the middle of the room in a chair, and people would bring in artifacts as if they were prospective lovers, and Zach would judge them based on how scared he was.
It was like a dating show for haunted objects. It also had little DNA of the voice, because the chair he was in was huge for some reason.
And we met a guy named Kevin Manis on that series.
Boy, did we meet Kevin Manis.
He is one of the original owners of the Dybbuk box, and he's back. And when I saw that, I said, oh no, because
I did not ever want to think of this man or see this guy ever again, because the episode that he's in with the Ghost Adventures Artifacts, he's in a basement with the Dybbuk box at one point. And he either becomes possessed by something or has a nervous breakdown, but it's on video.
It's very wild.
And it's not okay. I'm pretty sure he's having a nervous breakdown, by the way. Like, I don't. This looks like somebody with like mental health issues.
Yeah.
So why Zach Bagans calls him again in the middle of a pandemic to discuss this box is also kind of a dick move. Cause it's like, this guy's not very stable. Do we really need to scare him while there's a pandemic happening? Like, is this really the time to bug this guy?
Yeah. Gonna open the Dybbuk box. Look behind you.
Don't be the box that you think killed your mom.
Yeah. Which he loves telling that story, by the way.
He tells the story the same that he told it last, same way he told it last time. He gave his mom, for whatever reason, decided to give his mother a box that allegedly holds the sorrows of the Holocaust as a birthday gift. She opens it, bam, she dies of a heart attack.
Yep. And he gifts it to someone else. I mean, if I had it, that might be what I would do. I would just gift it to my enemies.
Why would you give someone that as a birthday gift?
Kill him. You want to kill him? Mom had a bunch of money.
Bunch of money.
He was trying to get to.
That was my theory with COVID in general, that the boomers, like evil boomers out there, didn't want to do anything about COVID because they want their parents' money.
Mm.
Mm.
I think we know some people like that.
Yeah, we do. Mm.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
So...
Zach. I was just gonna go with you on it because you're my friend, you know?
Wink, wink. Wink, wink.
Waka, waka.
So Zach also tells Kevin Manis the story of when Post Malone, rapper, everyone knows him. He's great. He came to the Haunted Mansion with Zach, and they were playing around with the Dybbuk box. And he talks about how when they were in the room, he started hyperventilating and crying, and they show video, and he's clearly not doing either of those things.
No.
He's just standing there. He's not hyperventilating. He's
fine.
Not crying.
He's fine.
Yeah, he looks fine.
He's chill.
So, yeah, there's lots of stuff about the Dybbuk box. I like there's a point where he's like, have I told you about what happened when Post Malone came to look at the Dybbuk box? And it's like, yeah, it cursed him. And he almost died in a plane crash and a car crash within 2 months.
Thanks, Zach.
That really happened.
I know.
I think we brought it up on a podcast or I wrote about it somewhere. But yeah, the Dybbuk box tried to kill Post Malone.
I think we covered it on this episode.
Yeah.
Or in the show, I mean.
Yeah.
Not this episode.
So, yeah, we find out, like you said, there's 10 Dybbuk boxes. Zach has two of them. He should keep his soul bowls in them. Remember when he was buying the death masks from...
The death bowls.
Yeah.
From my favorite episode of Ghost Adventures.
Oh, Zach. So inappropriate. I like when Zach asks, what is the worst thing that could happen to me if I open both of these boxes at the same time? And Kevin Manis says, well, you could die. And here's the thing. That sounds ominous, but Caitlin.
Yeah.
What could happen if I take the bus today?
You could die.
Mm. What happens if I use my Navage to clean out my sinuses? I could die.
You could die of MRSA.
I could get a brain-eating amoeba. Like you could, well, you could die as an answer for almost anything. Hey, going to a baseball game today. Well, you could die.
Well, you could die.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I do find the amount of time Zach spends talking about masks very charming.
He loves masks.
And he's really portraying himself as a hero for reusing his N95 masks. And it's like, where did you get N95 masks?
Also, he's been on the mask train for many years.
Yeah.
He has used masks in episodes, I want to say for like at least for the last 5 years. At least. It may go back even further, but he's been ahead of the game.
He definitely wears them around homeless people. We learned that because there was that episode where they investigate this haunted motel and for no discernible reason, he's wearing a mask and there's nothing around like, but transients.
Like a nerve gas mask. Also.
Yeah.
It was not just like one of those like medical cloth masks. It was like the apocalypse has hit and he has decided that he would survive. Yeah. It's very intense.
The apocalypse hit and I'm going to smoke weed through this thing. That's what it looked like.
Living on the edge.
So they decide to spend a night just pointing cameras at the Dybbuk box. And while they're setting all that up, Zach just kicks Billy out of the room. And when Billy asks why, he goes, I don't know, Bill. And that's it. It's fuck Billy. You know,
he does. He just launches. He's like out of nowhere. He's like, Billy, you got to go. And he just can't stand the sight of him for that moment. It's great.
Who can't sympathize with that?
I know.
So Zach passes out on the stairs and they decide that we should probably call it a night. And then at the start of the next day, Zach says day two arrives. And now I have no concept of where we are in this investigation.
It honestly is the most COVID smash cut in that we're ever going to get. It really was like, wait, day two of part. Wait, what? I thought this was day six or seven.
Yeah.
Five. What?
And like by the end of episode two, they're only on day four. I'm like, how long are these episodes going to be?
I don't think they know. This is back to what Zach knows, what Zach doesn't know.
And we learn that Zach had some bad dreams about his dog and coronavirus. And he informs everyone that he woke up angry and will be taking that energy with him to work. Possibly my least favorite kind of person. Your problems are not your fucking coworker's fault. Don't be a dick.
I just love that we got like a journal entry. Dear diary. I had a bad dream about the coronavirus and my very beloved dog. Do I believe that these things are connected to the energy in this house that I purposely, definitely, absolutely filled with weird, weird objects such as Patrick Swayze's teeth? No, I don't think those things are connected. I think it's coming from something outside. With that being said, I'm very angry and I hate Billy. Good night.
Fuck you, Billy. Asshole. They do catch
I'm sure it's Billy's fault that he had those nightmares.
They do catch a straight up ghost coming out of the Dybbuk box on camera. I'm not going to fucking dispute that at all. It's got a face and everything.
There is that. There is the ghost that comes out of the Dybbuk box.
Motherfucker waved at the camera on its way out.
Yeah, that was like the ghost was there as a tourist almost. It was like very stoked to be there.
It looks like the ghost of Teddy Ruxpin. Like it's got just a cute little face on it.
Just heading straight to the doll room now.
It's like, oh, you're opening this thing? I'm out of here.
Goodbye. No, Casper the friendly ghost.
Breaking my lease, getting out of this box.
No reason for me to stay.
And so, as promised, Zach is being a huge asshole at work.
Because of his dreams.
He's accusing Aaron of talking when Aaron's not. He's not saying anything.
We have to pause and talk about this for a second. Zach is in such a bad mood.
He really is. He's being a huge dick.
He is there in the room with the Dybbuk box and the angle is like a security camera angle. It's really weird. It's like up in the corner of the room and Aaron is just standing there. Zach is the one that's talking. And then he goes, Aaron, shut up.
It's so great.
And Aaron's like, what?
What did I do?
I wasn't even talking. It was so good.
It was great.
And then Zach says, I heard you talking in my head. And then Aaron's like, I wasn't saying anything. And then Zach turns away and speaking to nothing says, that's not good.
True.
Agreed.
Yeah. That is schizophrenia.
Yeah.
If nothing else.
Yeah. Baseline schizophrenia, something else, a demon.
So Zach does some energy readings around the box, and he really wants us to know that there's nothing present. And I'm like, oh, you're setting us up for something? Okay. And I like how he's terrified of this box, but also giving it a stern talking to before he opens it. Like, that's going to make it better. I'd be like, you're a good box. Who's a cute little dimmick box?
Yeah. Yeah. He's like very interested in setting up boundaries before he engages in this box situation.
But then he just flings them doors open. And I'm like, are we all haunted now?
Am I haunted because I watched this?
Yeah. And yes, we are actually.
Yeah.
And Zach says he was expecting it to be like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, I wish that would have been so cool.
Something tells me that wouldn't have made it to air, but yeah.
Yeah. I like this show, but if it ends that way, mwah, chef's kiss.
He died doing what he loves.
Yelling at ghosts.
Yelling at ghosts.
So then they break out the Gerger machine. The box calls Zach Kevin like a fucking idiot. Use your eyes, you dumb goddamn box. It's not a Kevin.
Maybe they're just messing with him. Yeah. I kind of like that. Like, hey, Kevin. Oh, no. Actually, excuse me, Mr. Ghost. My name is Zach Bagans. Okay, Kevin.
Yeah. No, we call you Kevin. It's like the male Karen.
You're Kevin now, bitch.
You want to speak to the manager? Get the fuck out of here. And he asks the box what consciousness it has taken. And the Gerger machine says, evil, in a very scary voice. Like, it doesn't go evil.
No,
like, it evil.
Goes, evil.
Sound like a death metal band.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like straight out of some scary movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And, but also they hear a child's voice that I swear sounded like a cat. It didn't, it was like,
I watched The Grudge that night because of that moment. I was like, you know, I haven't seen The Grudge in a long time. And I watched it.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
So of course they break out the stick fit. They're throwing everything they can at this Dybbuk box. They break out the stick figure machine. Of course, there's a happy little dancing stick figure. And I'm like, this thing's not a threat at all. What if that's what ghosts are? Is just happy little dancing stick figures that we're not meant to see. They're on Earth because they love it down here. Just
how
dancing their life away.
If that's a ghost.
Right?
It might be some interdimensional being. We don't know what that thing is.
Could be a fucking alien.
Yeah, it could be an alien. It could be a lot of things. Just saying.
But they just look so happy. So then it leaves the box and it goes to this area where Zach thought he saw a shadow earlier. And now this is why we're supposed to remember there were no energy fields around the box. Because
got it. Yep.
Let me tell you, there's a bunch of them. And even worse, the spirit inside the Dybbuk box, I don't know how they know this, but Zach is very concerned that spirit is now zipping around the mansion, doing what? I don't know, radicalizing the other ghosts, turning them into Dybbuk box spirits. I have no idea. But he's very concerned. Like I like to picture it like there's a squirrel that got in the house. It's just fucking tearing shit up while you're trying to catch it.
More like a raccoon.
Yeah. No, like squirrel.
Really, really fucking up your house.
It's fun if you picture it that way.
Knocking your trash over.
Dybbuk box spirit just comes out like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Zip it over to the Philippines and fucking with that captain's armoire box.
Briefly takes human form to be like, why are you in the Philippines? Never mind.
Never mind. Then it becomes a homeless person that just spits on you.
Also, at this exact moment in the episode, I started hearing a weird grumbling sort of noise inside the headphones I was wearing while I was watching this.
I don't like that.
Yeah, it happens when they need to be charged. But also ghosts.
I was going to say, that's clearly just a ghost.
So Zach decides to take the Dybbuk box off its perch and walk around with it. And this is where he really, really goes in on Billy. He happens upon Billy, who we learn is terrified of the Dybbuk box. He wants nothing to do with this investigation at all.
No,
he is in a room ignoring it all. And Zach, again, bringing that asshole energy to work, carries the Dybbuk box to the room Billy is in.
Like a baby.
Sets it in the doorway and says, you're trapped now. Fuck you, Billy.
Yeah, but also, like, that's just not nice.
It's really not.
Like, if you're deathly afraid of something, I don't want you anywhere near something you're terrified of.
And Billy, God love him, he starts employing one of the most powerful tools in the universe against these spirits. And that tool is the power of positive thinking. Because he just looks at the box and goes, I respect the box. I'm protecting myself from the box. And I like to imagine the box being like, fuck, this guy gets it. Who told him?
Like Denzel Washington, my man.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, okay.
You outsmarted me this time.
All right. Okay. Okay.
I'll get you.
All right. But you're round. You're round. This is your moment. You shine. You go ahead and shine.
Also, before all of this happens, Aaron just passes the fuck out and no one notices.
I forgot about that.
He's just laying lifeless on the floor and they suddenly turn around and they're like, oh, shit. You good? Oh, God.
Hey.
And he wakes up smelling burning wood.
That's a stroke. He's had a stroke.
And then there's this fun moment where Billy is like, you know, you shouldn't mess with stuff like this. It's one of those things where you're going to go home tonight and everything will be fine. And then 2 days later, something will happen. Caitlin, you know what I bet it's going to be? Water heater. Always.
Never
see it coming.
Water heater.
Because who's looking at the water heater? You know,
it's just down there in the basement doing its job. Garage. I don't ever think about my water heater.
Damn you, Dybbuk box. Zach is very angry by this. He's very angry. He tells Billy, "Don't put that on me." Like
after he
walk hard,
Billy with his life.
Yeah,
he's upset with Billy for stating the obvious, which is, "Hey, you're fucking around with a cursed box, and I bet in a couple days some bad stuff's going to happen to you." And then Zach has the nerve to be like, Billy, how could you say that? It's like, whoa. This one is on you, my friend, Zach. I don't like Billy either, but come on now.
Billy's speaking facts. You just opened the Dybbuk box, pal.
Yeah, you carried around like it was QVC.
You're lucky you opened it in a museum. Because it's got things to be interested in and look at instead of killing you.
Got to see those teeth.
So then Zach starts playing bongos on the desk in the Dybbuk box room for no reason. Like he's possessed by the spirit of Woody Harrelson or Matthew McConaughey or something.
Definitely having a little bit of a breakdown.
Yeah. He says he's being manipulated by a spirit. It's like, who? Sheila E? Like what?
You're annoying subconscious? Are you, again, wanting more attention?
And then Zach says one of the weirdest things in Ghost Adventures history.
Yes, he does.
This is how they end the episode. Well, there's a little epilogue at the end.
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate.
What's about to happen is a very of Ghost Adventures moment here. Because it's an abrupt ending on a weird thought. And the weird thought is?
Zach says, the investigation of the Dybbuk box ends and the investigation of our bodies begins. It's like, that is not hot.
That's really uncomfortable.
Like, geez, most people are just making sourdough during quarantine. You're really trying new shit. Wow.
So stressful. You guys can't see me, but I have my sweatshirt pulled up around my ears. It made me so uncomfortable when he said this.
I imagine everyone else was standing around like, what? Like, that's the moment where they finally break with Zach. They're like, huh? No. What, is a doctor coming? You mean there's a doctor? Just us? Nope.
They wouldn't say no.
So then we get the sad epilogue because everyone, including the universe, hates Billy. The warning that he gave Zach about how this is a thing where something weird's going to happen. America, Billy's dog died 3 days later. And I don't mean to laugh, but.
Sorry. Like, come on.
Do you think Zach killed the dog?
I don't know.
Make sure good TV.
Good TV is good TV. I don't know. It's rough to think about.
What if he adopted a dog just to kill it?
I don't know.
It's a very unfortunate ending.
Well, what's really weird is he says, we're not saying that this is absolutely related to our experimentation with the Dybbuk box, but we do think that it's a grave coincidence. It's like, oh, yeah?
You think? When did you come to that conclusion? When you're investigating each other's bodies?
Billy's dog.
Speaking of bodies, your dog's dead in the corner, dude. Did you see that? That's like the thing that happened with Aaron all over again.
I want to know what's happening with their bodies. Are they okay?
I want to investigate.
It's such a gnarly sentence.
It's a weird thing to say, which it's fine. Like, it's fine if that's how they want to celebrate the end of this, but.
Problem with it. It's just, I don't think that means what he thinks it means.
It was just a very odd turn. That's all.
Just a different genre now.
We still love him.
I just wasn't expecting it.
Nope. It was very, very strange sentence to end this show on.
Yeah, it was a lot.
So that wraps up our investigation of Ghost Adventures Quarantine. We hope you enjoyed it. If you want to hear me and Caitlin talk about more Ghost Adventures episodes, subscribe and you can hear it all the time. It's so much fun.
It is. And we're really developing some long form opinions about the show that I don't know that anybody else.
I could write a fucking ethnography of Ghost Adventures now, a word I only learned from researching Jonestown, but it's not a bad thing. It's just a documentation of a group of people. That's all.
It honestly, it's going to be so interesting to see what this dynamic turns into in the next 10 years. Because I don't know when this train stops. I can't see him being able to do anything else after this.
I want him to do like a Chris Angel type Vegas residency where he just like entertains people by conjuring ghosts, like stick figures on the screen behind him and shit. Sir, there's one sitting on you right now. And you're like, oh my God, it's dancing in my lap.
It's dancing. But seriously though, like what does somebody do after a project like this? Because it has to end at some point. It can't be like Cops that's been on, you know, it's got to stop at some point.
There's only so many haunted places I thought 25 years ago when this show started.
No, there's no sort of shortage of haunted places. Trust me. That's not the issue. It's more just, I don't know. Do people lose interest? I'm just curious. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I think the most damaging thing that could happen is we just find conclusive proof that ghosts are real. Because then this show just becomes you bothering people. It's like, fucking stop it. Leave them alone.
That or some kind of he gets involved in something really weird, which I think is probably the most logical conclusion of this, is that he somehow goes too far.
Yeah.
As a person. There's always the danger in something like that, you know, and that's what happens with, you know, these Chris Angel people and all of these like kind of weird borderline personalities that have, you know, empires built around them like this. So anyway, as long as this thing's still going, Adam and I are still going to be doing it. So
there's no shortage of Ghost Adventures episodes to talk about. There are 20 some seasons of this show.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Yeah. And it's we tried to do this same thing with Ancient Aliens over on the Conspiracy Podcast.
It's just,
and boy, is that an infuriating show when you dig into it. That's just white supremacist bullshit there.
It gets really depressing.
Oh, you think these brown people invented civilization? Nope. Time traveling white men. It's like, shut up, fucking morons. Anyway.
On that note.
Watch Ghost Adventures. Fuck Ancient Aliens. I don't know. Marry Ghost Adventures artifacts.
Yeah, that'd be nice. You'd have, your home would be interesting.
Just doing a little fuck, marry, kill thing.
Yeah. I liked what you did there.
So that's our episode. Do we have anything to plug? Caitlin, do you have anything to plug?
Not at the moment, other than this fabulous show that we do together.
It's called Pretty Scary, and you can hear it wherever podcasts are downloaded. Yep. And you can get bonus episodes, patreon.com/unpops or unpopsnetwork.supercast.tech.
Whoa.
Ooh.
That was awesome.
And now this episode ends, and that's it.
We're not adding any weird investigation
of body stuff on this show. This is a wholesome show.
No, we are friends.
Yeah. So
we're good.
We're not friends like the Ghost Adventures friends.
That's a team.
Yeah.
Teams are complicated.
They're a team.
We're just friends.
Yeah.
We're good.
You got to do some team building stuff.
Yeah. Not us.
So I think that's our episode. Caitlin, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
We love you. Oh, my God.